Susan Reynolds is saying, are you saying it's not worth $22,000 to get on the phone with me? No, it is. Getting on the phone with Susan Reynolds is priceless. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at rickemerson.com. And so forth. Coming up later on in this hour. What is it, this hour? Do we have a... Oh, yeah, 2 o'clock, Ed McCarthy. All right, that's my fault. Coming at 2 o'clock, we have Ed McCarthy, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. This hour, though, we have a big Storm Large announcement we're going to get to. So we will have a big announcement about Storm Large. By the way, and I know that we were promising not to dwell about Rockstar Supernova, but I do have to say this, that they have, where is it? They have officially changed their name.
Oh, let's do you see. Have what they changed it to?
I do, Sarah. Let's
you
see.
You keep doing that today.
What?
Awesome.
It's right here. Well, let me quickly go through a couple of these emails. Listen to this. This is how people know how to get my attention. Subject line: Scarlett Johansson's first penthouse exclusive. And then, of course, it's, you know. Rick, I usually have to go to lunch at 11:30. I love it that you're on the air at 11 now. I even turned, like so many others, to coin in the mornings to see Sarah. Now I get an hour instead of 20 minutes. Thank your program director for me. Will do. A week ago, I heard a story from my savior, Tim Riley, about that PR firm bidding for Iraq, the glitz and the glory, right? And we had that story?
True, yes, we did.
And this is where the government is looking for PR firms to stage manage the Iraq war.
$20 million contract.
She says, my brother-in-law works for Wagner Edstrom, and I asked him about it. He said that if they get the contract, they'll have to hire a whole new team to run the account because everyone that works there has already said that they will quit if they take the Iraq war account. Thought I'd share a bit of inside info. Signed, quote, Carry, end quote. So there you go.
That's where Delane works.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wagner Engstrom?
Mm-hmm.
Engstrom? Let's see. Rick, let me get this straight. The strangler woman is a nurse, which is an inherently sexy profession. She strangled an intruder with nylons. See, I haven't read that anywhere, but several
That's
people
have That's an urban legend.
The man turned out to be an employee of her estranged husband, a pornography magnate. The man was an ex-con porn store janitor, which adds the perfect crazy element of filth and vileness. Let's face it, even if the woman is ugly, this has to be one of the most lurid, sexy, filthy Portland news stories ever. It's true. Here's an email from a guy named Dan. Rick, what is the deal with, quote, Dan? How has he angered you so? I've been able to listen a whole lot because of work, and I think I may have missed something anyway. I have heard you say Dan with a little anger. Please tell me what he has done. That's the thing we'll have to put next week, like maybe Tuesday.
Every week it's next week.
No, definitely next week. We'll do the Encyclopedia Emersonia without fail. And we'll put Dan there. We'll explain the deal with Dan. Well, where the hell did my supernova story go? I had it right here. It was, you hate that feel. It was just here. Well, anyway, it was especially pathetic, though, because it had a lot of news. It had a lot of quotes from their PR person. Oh, here. Oh, thank you. Oh, there you go. And then we'll get to these phone calls. Then we'll do a little more news with Tim Riley. Dateline Los Angeles. Forced by court order to change its name, a made-for-TV rock band featuring Motley Crue drummer Tommy Lee made its commercial to music debut on Thursday as...
Chevrolet Nova.
Rockstar Supernova. That is officially their name now. The name of the band is Rockstar Supernova. Least interesting substitution ever. The new group, which blah, 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 blah... A day after Toronto, I'm so bored already with this story. It's going to be Rockstar Supernova. That's their actual name, said Natalie Gaday-Sorum, a spokeswoman for the group's label, Epic. Gaday-Sorum added that the label, a unit of Sony BMG Entertainment, was counting on more than just one album and tour from the band. It's a permanent thing, she says, lying through her teeth to Reuters. Once they get off their tour, they're going to go right back in the studio and start writing more material, which no one will care about or listen to or purchase ever. So there you go. Also, it is the final note. Anybody wanting to know why, because Sarah made a very, very salient and accurate prediction yesterday, which is that our good friend, Delana, will be vanishing soon and will be forgotten by everybody. Here's how you know that's true. It's not just... The only person to offer to help her was Gilby Clark, who is the least interesting and talented of all of the Supernova members. It's not just that everybody in the country loathes her. It's not just that she's off-putting, shrill, and whiny when she sings. It is that, and I read this in an interview with her, they said, blah, 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 Delana, and her real name is not Delana Smith, which is what it says in that video, that horrible song calls it, but her real name is like Robichaud or something, it's some hideous Canadian French name or whatever. But they interview and they said, so what's up with you now? And you know what her response was? You think of a less storm-like response. They said, what do you do now? She said, well, now I'm just waiting for somebody to tell me what to do. There you go. Because that response exudes success. That's exactly the kind of attitude you need to make it in showbiz. Wait for someone to tell you what to do.
Who did she say that to?
To some reporter from the L.A. Times.
Oh, my God.
It was like, so, where does Delano Robichaud see herself doing, you know, going now? And her response was, well, right now I'm just waiting for somebody to tell me what to do. So there you go. Good luck with that. Here's what you do. Get me some fries. Let's see. Get me a turkey pot pie. We'll talk to our good friend Bruce in just a moment. This is Dallas. Are you under the Markham Bridge?
Yes, I'm in the Almsley parking lot right now.
So you're now, can you see, this is so stupid, I sound like the guy in KGDB. Can you see the chunks, sir?
Yeah, well, it's just like, it looks like the pipe, it's on the bottom part of the bridge.
Yeah.
And the pipe hit it, and it just basically took out a big chunk of that dividing wall.
Which then rained down like so much stony death onto the parking lot below.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
No.
I don't see how they're going to get a crane in there to get it out because it's in between the two parts of the bridge.
Well, that was my question. The guy was like, well, we'll get a crane in there. But this would have to be one of those cranes. In other words, not a free freestanding crane, but, you know, a crane with treads on it, sort of like a backhoe kind of crane, right?
Yeah, it actually sounds like they're cutting it up into pieces right now.
Well, they've got to be because, I mean, I would almost guarantee, even without having seen it, I would almost guarantee that they're cutting that pipe on the, because you know what I'm talking about, the Markham Bridge is closed, traffic destroyed everywhere because a huge cement pipe rolled off a truck and destroyed part of the bridge this morning. So, by the way, stay away from the Markham Bridge. I would almost guarantee they're doing that because you got to figure, what's the worst-case scenario? The worst-case scenario is the concrete pipe itself is cracked and the structural integrity is weakened. What if they go to pick that pipe up, the cracks rupture, and that pipe immediately falls apart into several smaller but still unbelievably heavy pieces, which then break further, destroy other parts of the bridge, roll off the bridge, roll down the bridge? What is that?
They're hammering on it right now, and they're drilling at it.
That's it. They've got to be. Oh, man, they're going to be there for hours. It is. Yeah. After
they,
1 o'clock.
They hire some day laborers.
Totally. Would you like free coffee? Hey, fill out this postcard. All right. Well, thank you, sir. Let us know if anything else happens, sir.
All right, I will.
There you go. There's Dallas underneath the Markham Bridge. Thank you. I don't have. Bruce sent me. Wait, hold on. He sent me a sounder. Our former godlike program director, Bruce Agler, he actually sent me his own sound. He created it. Hold on, let me find it here.
Make sure it's not full of profanity.
It's not full of profanity.
I'm kidding.
Wait, ladies and gentlemen, hold on. Let me open this now. Is my computer up?
Uh huh.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me now. Welcome to the, let's see if this will play correctly. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 5 o'clock. All right, there you go. Former godlike program director Bruce Agler. Hello, sir.
Oh, hello there. I didn't even think about you using that as a sounder for when I was on the air. That's like not a bad idea.
No, it's fantastic.
I got a clean copy at home.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right, that WFA in gold. You can tell it's the top of the hour. You can tell it's right before Casey's supposed to go, it's 12 noon.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right. Good luck.
What's up, brother?
Well, I was trying to get in while you were having the discussion with your young gentleman there about how to get in the business.
Yeah, the irony is that Scotty J, who was actually in here talking to us, and was unable to tell me who was on the phone.
So. Yeah, that's what I figured when I'm calling. Well,
yes.
Scotty's not going to be able to screen the phone because I hear him talking on the radio.
Yes.
I thought you might just pick
well,
up.
Well,
so I don't know if you'd like my contribution on that.
Absolutely. Well, because, again, and you know this is having been a PD for so long, that there are a billion people out there who want to be on the radio or think that they should be or whatever, and it's, and so undoubtedly this is applicable to many people out there.
Yes, well, considering I hired all of you guys, so.
Yes, it is true. See, so there's a man who knows talent.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Well, my recommendation is always one of two ways. One, if you've got the grades and the money and the inclination, I definitely suggest that you find a good four-year university.
A real college.
A real college.
Yes.
You go and you take a degree in whatever interests you, but I would not recommend you take communications unless you just have a particular interest in speech making and so on.
Right.
If you're specifically thinking of radio, it's probably good to take something like political science.
Absolutely.
Sociology, something like that, or go in the sciences, because then you might always get in the engineering side of things if you don't work out as a DJ.
Absolutely.
Now, the recommendation, though, I do have is, number one, try to find a university that has an actual over-the-air radio station that actually employs student health, okay? Because a lot of university radio stations are NPR-type things and, you know, that almost don't have anything to do with the student part of the school. And preferably find one where there is a real over-the-air radio station, not just an in-the-dorm sort of thing, but a real over-the-air radio station that's actually run by the students. There aren't very many of those, but there are some.
And I don't even know, are there any around here?
You know, I don't know.
No, I know there's Emerson College in Boston.
The PSU sort of does, because they do actually broadcast over the air on the high school station, you know, 1450 at night. So, you know, KPSU probably would qualify to meet my requirement.
Well, Scotty is typing in the screen angrily. Mount Hood has such a radio station.
Well, yes, but Mount Hood's student station is not a real over-the-air FCC licensed station.
Yeah, in your face, Scotty.
But I will get to Mount Hood, because I actually do like the Mount Hood program, so that we will get to them last. But they don't fit either of my two requirements, but in fact, the Mount Hood thing's pretty good. But number two is sort of the route you took, which is the route if you're not really thinking about college, and this is something that you almost have to think about while you're still in high school, and that is take the route of finding a radio station and hang out there and
be a pest
and sweep the floor,
yeah,
and carry out the trash and buddy up with the DJs or remotes or whatever and just offer to do anything.
Which is totally, and I tell them, people think that I'm being glib about that, but it literally, there was a radio station near my home when I grew up as a kid, and I literally hung out there and swept the studio and got coffee for the guy until he would let me work up to, like, segueing records, yeah.
And the downside to that, however, is if you're in a large city, large market, it's almost impossible to even be able to do that.
Sure. Well, especially now.
That's why so many people in radio came from small towns.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot easier to do that at a small town radio station, and it used to be a lot easier to do that, of course, before they all were automated or satellite.
Well, and especially now because there's the consolidation, they're all owned by huge corporations.
They're still all
owned
by Clear Channel, even in the smallest markets,
yeah.
Although that's not really a problem. They still need people to come and work, but the problem is they don't have as many people working.
Yeah.
But yeah, it used to be that if you lived in a small town and you wanted to be in radio, it was not going to be that hard to get in radio because you'd go hang out at the radio station. They needed help. You could probably get a job as a DJ at 3 in the morning,
yeah,
because they needed somebody there 24 hours a day. And that's how you get your start. And it was actually easier in a smaller town than a larger town.
Yeah.
But the in terms of going to college, I mean, if you can do it, go to a regular four-year university, get the best degree you can, prepare yourself for life in general. And at the same time, if you can find one, but try to find one that does have a radio station that employs students at the very least, and that's where Mount Hood would certainly fit in that, because KMHD is a very good radio station, and they employ students to work on it.
And by the way, and I would note that at all stages of this, try to identify a girlfriend or boyfriend who has a lucrative career in the
yeah,
works.
Yeah, no doubt. Try to find someone who's in nursing school.
Find someone you can leech off of when things go bad, as they will.
Yes, someone who is in the used car business. I mean, the nursing, as in your case, or the used car business, as in my case, or whatever, yes.
Exactly.
But now that all that said, the Mount Hood program actually is very good, and I hired a lot of people out of Mount Hood. And with the reason why the Mount Hood program does work, and so I would say this, if your friend there wants to do that, I don't think Mount Hood's a bad idea, because Mount Hood is the rare program that actually does bring in so many people from the local radio station.
I know. Well, Scotty was actually, he's like, no, you and Sarah and Tim ought to come by and speak to the class. I have no idea what we would speak to the class about.
But so many people do, and so many people are involved in the classes, you might recall. Robin, who used to be the program director at KWJJ, and he's taught out there a number of times. His wife has been the teacher out there most of the time. And there's just so many people in local radio who either come and guest speak or actually are involved in the program. And therefore, what the Mount Hood program does that very few of these things do is I don't know that the training they give in the classes doesn't. I was unable to detect that it prepared anybody any better than sweeping out the trash at the other guy. But the one thing the Mount Hood program does for somebody in a large market like this, it gives them a chance to meet people like you, or Robin, or me, or whatever, and do that networking that you need.
No, it is true. That's the one thing I was saying. And then I
can see your face on the admissions brochure. Meet people like this.
Totally. It's like me in a black and white thing giving a thumbs up to the camera.
The 1998 picture when you look like Meatloaf.
Totally.
And the one thing that happens when a new PD comes to town, this happened to me when I first came to town, I was told, call Jeff, Scotty would know, the guy's name is Jeff something, the program out there. Call him if you need people.
No, it's true. We have several people here, not just Scotty, who are from Mount Hood. So I kid a little bit.
And you call Jeff out there, and he'll send you a whole list of people that he thinks are actually doing good in their classes and are likely to show up. I mean, come, when you're hiring people at that level to just start out, the main thing you need is people who are going to show up.
That's the thing. Who are going to show up and not have a serious debilitating drug habit.
And so you do give old Jeff a call out there, and he says, well, yeah, so-and-so and so-and-so, they're really into it, and they'll show up. And, you know, out of the ones I got from Mount Hood, I'd say I had maybe one out of five being clinkers. I mean, you would know if you were them.
I absolutely, I think Tim has cursed them to this day, actually.
Yeah.
So, all right. Bruce Hagler. Always a pleasure, sir. Former Godlike program director.
I appreciate having the jingle intro there.
That's there you go. No, I'm going to put that in the system.
We'll I'll get you a cleaner
copy. Give me a clean copy. Thank you, Bruce.
Mm.
All right, there you go. Former Godlike program director, Bruce Hagler. Yes. Especially that woman who fell asleep on the overnight shift at the KOTK. She was gold.
Oh, my God. What was her name?
Don't say her name.
Oh, okay. I remember
who she is.
You know who we're talking about.
Yeah, literally. I remember when I would do Phil Hendry, and she was supposed to come in at midnight, and she wouldn't show up till 2.
Oh, yeah. And this is the best part. Is that
and never apologize.
Here's the best part. Is that sometimes on the old KOTK, this is, by the way, Bruce was not to be blamed for this, because he wasn't home asleep when this would happen. But occasionally I would get these emails that somebody would be up listening to... What did KOTK have on at 3 in the morning? Was it Doug Steffen?
And your special friend.
My special friend?
John.
Oh, less said about that guy, the better. But but there was this woman who worked the overnights there running the board, and she would literally fall asleep. And I would know this because suddenly, like, Opie and Anthony would be coming over to the station at, like, 3 a.m. God damn. And I know we've gone on and on about radio, but we might as well finish this out. And then we've got some people here. And Tim's got this news story about Clear Channel and so forth anyway. But, you know, the thing about it is, and Tim was noting this, the one thing about all of this consolidation, which is what a fancy name for the big companies owning everything. You know, because it used to be that mom and pop stations, you know, owned. I mean, I've worked for mom and pop stations, you know, and I've told that story, but I worked for this couple. Their names were Sid and Nancy. Ha, ha, ha. But it was this old couple, and they owned a country station, blah, 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 blah. And Tim has worked for those.
Helen's Polka Party.
Exactly.
With Jimmy and Helen. The program with a million listeners.
What?
It's the program with a million listeners.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
No. It was my first job. It was a polka party.
Oh, I used to a poker party.
Oh, remember, I was on the polka station.
It was a polka program.
And how many listeners?
A million.
Did you have to talk like that?
No, that's the way Jimmy talks. He was married to Helen.
This is the story about me. This is my equivalent to that. I worked at the station in I won't say the call letter. There's a station in Prosser. And
Prosser. I had some friends in college from Prosser.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. And the station was in, well, I talk about it in Bigger Than Jesus.
What does Prosser mean?
Not the
why would
Prosser, I barely knew her. I don't know. I don't even know what Prosser, I don't even know where that name comes from. Some whatever. I talk in Bigger Than Jesus. I tell this story of having to do the Pet Patrol, which is this story that I would have to read whenever livestock or like a cow ran away from home or something. But it was this in a trailer, like a mobile home, in the middle of a dried out weed field, total fire trap. And this is one of those stations where all of the equipment, everything, tubes and just big boxes of glowing red metal and none of it was put in a safe, fireproof location. It was all, like, in the back room of the... It literally was like a trailer. It was meant to be, like, a mobile home that someone lived in. But instead, it was a radio station. And so, like, what would have normally been, like, the guest bedroom, that was where they kept all the transmitter equipment, throwing off just hundreds of degrees of heat. I mean, the room was, like, 190 degrees. And instead of, like, an elaborate cooling system or an air conditioner, there was just a couple of box fans pointing at the equipment. And, I mean, the whole place was a fire trap. And so this is what they told me. My first day there, they're giving me the walkthrough. And this place is just, it's the single dirtiest place I've ever worked in my life. Just because it was in the middle of a dusty weed field in Prosser. And just dust and dirt and grit and grime and... You know, and everything, you're playing everything off vinyl, and it's so dirty in there that you have to clean the needle between every record because it's just covered with filth. And I'm playing Statler Brothers records and crying silently to myself during breaks. And so the first thing they do when I'm there, and he's walking me through, and it was either Sid or Nancy, one of the two, I think it was Sid, and he's walking me through, and he's like, here's where we keep the vinyl. And this huge... Remember those cart machines, Tim? This is totally inside radio. But those cart machines that were the round barrel kind that rotated, and you like loaded them, and they were like, you know, like, yeah, totally. That's what we played everything off of. Anyway, So he's explaining to me about where everything is, and he's showing me this fire trap room where all of the electrical equipment and all of the transmitting equipment is kept. And, I mean, you open the room, and it was like opening the gates of hell. You open it, and it was like you were Shadrach inside the fiery furnace. It was, you know, I thought to myself, this place is going to burn down, and this whole field's going to go up with it. Here's what he told me. Because in those days, I don't think you have to worry about this much now, but the FCC used to do spot safety inspections sometimes. You would hear these rumors. And the deal was always that the FCC could knock on the door and be like, hello, FCC, let us in. We're here to check for, you know, E. coli or whatever it is they check for. And the deal was, it was a mobile home, so there was a regular door and then a screen door. We were all about class at this station. And his deal was, he's like, now look, sometime, you know, in the future, who knows, the FCC might come by for a spot inspection for safety. Now, here's what you do. You open the door, but not the screen door. That you leave locked. And he said, now, if the FCC comes, ask to see their identification. And if they show their identification and they really are from the FCC, tell them you have to go get the key to open the screen door. Then go out the back, get in your car, and drive away as fast as you can. Don't leave any of your identification. Take your license with you. Take the log, because he knew that if the FCC ever inspected this place, they would close it down and fire us, and we would all go to jail because it was a death trap. So his advice was literally to take anything that could be used to identify me, pack it into the trunk of my Maverick, and drive away out the back door as fast as I could. That's that radio station for you there, in a nutshell. But as Tim noted, the thing about radio consolidation is, because those stations don't really exist anymore, even like some of the ethnic stations, like the Spanish stations used to be sort of very small groups, but even those are owned by big groups now, they don't tolerate, the good thing about all of this, because look, I'm not going to lie, we work for CBS, we work for the Columbia Broadcasting System, one of the biggest companies in the world. One of the good things about that is that corporations, they don't tolerate a lot of crap anymore. Tim and I were talking during the break about all of the stupid prima donna, idiot, hack, DJ BS that they would tolerate from employees kind of back in the day. And they don't tolerate that anymore. CBS especially, this is a very professional vibe in this building. I mean, we talk about employees waving guns. I literally, when I went for Citadel, I had a guy wave a gun at me. A guy who worked with me waved a gun. I had a morning show host when I was a PD in Salt Lake. My morning show host and my newswoman hated each other. Hated each other, as many morning shows grow to do. And many afternoon shows on other radio stations. But they despised each other because he was like a misogynist type, and she was a feminist, and totally just, and it wasn't just for the air. They loathed each other. And they would just get so angry at each other during the show. And it wasn't like a hot talk show. So it wasn't like they argued on the air. Like on the air, it was all like a lot of brittle politeness, like really British politeness with like a seething rage underneath. And then they would get off the air and just like scream, and she would stomp out. And her big thing was to throw stuff, like to throw headphones. And I remember the morning that it all went too far was when she threw a full cup of hot coffee at him. And it's like he turned off the microphone. And her thing was, like, she immediately picked up this cup. It wasn't full, but, like, half full cup of hot coffee. And from a distance of, like, 4 feet away, threw it at him. And it, like, exploded into shards on the wall behind him. And it was just sort of tolerated. Like, well, what can you do? And, you know, I don't think they tolerate that anymore. Just like they wouldn't tolerate the production director just sitting in the back and getting coked out of his brain on a Friday night before cutting a lot of, like, tags, you know? Are we late?
Yeah.
Oh. Hello there. Glad we got all that news. Well, and look, the good news is when we come back, it'll be time for the news again. We're sufficiently late enough that we're going to be on time when we get back.
That sounds good.
He's all sort of like one big Escher painting. All right. Hi, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. The Rick Emerson, the radio program. It is 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. birthday. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Oh, we have, you seen the hotline? That's our friend. Okay, so we'll do that in just a second.
Okay.
Tim gave me this article from the New York Times. Oh, this is a radio thing, right? Is this the Clear Channel? Is it selling off, having to sell off everything?
Yeah, they found out they don't make any more money because people aren't listening to the radio stations anymore. Imagine that.
That's hard to believe. It's all so sad. All right. So we had Chris, who was under the bridge. We lost his call, though. So we'll do an update here in a second on the bridge, on the Markham Bridge situation. And we're going to try. Actually, we were on the other side of the building, saying we could see the Markham Bridge. And you actually can't see it
from
this floor. But we're going to try to get some rooftop access so we can actually report on the... on the bridge, sort of, the eyewitness thing.
Mm. Tim, you might be the lucky guy who gets to go on the roof.
You want to go on the roof?
Sure.
High atop the top of the coin tower?
You bet.
I'd love to go on the roof. That'd be so cool.
You can't fall off now, can you?
Of course you can. Oh,
well, you have
right
to scale up to the peak. I mean, they don't have a platform or anything you can stand on.
You could totally
like
fall.
Like King Kong?
No, you could totally fall. I mean, if you really put your mind to it.
I mean, generally, if I'm standing there with your Benny...
Do you ever have those moments of unclarity when you're standing on the edge of a cliff and you're like, should I jump?
What? No one does.
No, I was on the...
Well, see, that's... Well, if he's out there saying, well, if you wanted to...
Is that like me driving down the road and I want to jerk the car to the left-hand lane?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. 503-733-2970. Anyway, so we'll do that. We got Scott Daly coming up later on from filmfeverradio.com, etc., so on and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, without further notice that we've been teasing this all morning, we have some very special news. Let's go to the... we do have the whole... Oh, well, maybe... Is that me? Okay, well, maybe I'll play something.
Sure.
That was so badly coordinated just now. Can you turn down my computer for just a second?
Yeah.
Just a skosh. That was so... What the hell I'm doing
maybe
there?
I'll play something. Please play the accordion.
All right, and go! Mother told me, yes, she told me, yummy boy. That was the worst handoff ever. Worst alley-oop ever. You'll never know what you'll catch. But just the other day, I heard a soldier falling out. From Indonesia, jump going around. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Our good friend... musical director for Storm and the Balls and Storm Snuggler, Davey Meeples. How are you, sir?
How do, people?
What's up, brother man? How you doing?
I am all right. Yeah. Just pulled into town late last night and just trying to get my marbles back. How are you folks doing?
Recovering. We got this great... I've still got it on my phone. We just got this great photo of you, Storm, and Brooke Burke. And it was one of those great low-tech... that's what made it so charming, where clearly one of you is holding the cell phone at arm's length, and you're all, like, kind of cram your faces into the frame, so...
Storm was holding it at arm's length, and we were in a dingy, dark corner of a club, and you had just sent me a shot of you guys hanging out at a bar somewhere.
Yeah, with Dante.
Storm, I was like, hey, I just got a message from Rick. Let's give him a little shout back, of us hanging in a dirty little bar.
It was very cool, so...
How was the rap party? Was it fun?
It was good. It was a little crazy. We got there. We were expecting it to be like a traditional rap party, which is everybody that was on the show, everybody that had worked for the show, like all the producers and camera people and hands and whatnot. Well, it was all those people, plus every one of them probably had five guests or more. So it was literally... Like, imagine just being dropped into the middle of the crowd at, like, a Supernova taping.
Excellent.
We were just mobbed. It was just crazy. It was really hard to...
And you said, and you had mentioned, that you and I talked earlier, and I hope it doesn't embarrass you to say this, but you said that you and Storm, actually, in L.A., were just kind of walking around, hanging out, chilling, but you said that even just, just from walking around and just trying to be low-key about it, that there was people coming up and being like, Storm Large! And there's totally, just coming up, that she has made a real impact on people. People really, they really have latched onto her.
It was a little crazy. I think in an interview she did with Dave Navarro on his podcast, he asked her, have you walked around? Have you walked down Melrose yet? And she was like, no, I've been doing press the whole time. He's like, get out there. He's like, you will be pleasantly surprised at, what's going on in this town and what's going on with you. And we literally were. We walked a couple blocks down from CBS, which didn't help because, you know, we were literally a couple blocks away from the taping. But we went in the grocery store, got some food, sat down to eat. And, I mean, cars driving by, people walking by, we were interrupted every 5 minutes, and it was pretty crazy. And then that kind of freaked her out a little bit. She's like, holy, you know, what's Portland going to be like?
Well,
but, you know, I kind of told her, Portland, everybody kind of knows you, so I'm hoping that everyone in town obviously knows her situation, a little more respect. She probably won't be bugged quite as much.
Yeah, because she's always had her obsessed fans, you know. I'm sure they're just slightly more obsessed now, but I'm sure they'll be respectful.
I think it sounds
good.
Yeah,
it'll be good. So speaking of her hanging out in town and being seen, this Wednesday, September 20th, at Dante's, we are going to be holding the official Welcome Home Storm kind of meet and greet. Everybody come on down and have a drink and hang out with Storm and the Balls kind of shindig.
And that is Wednesday, so that's next Wednesday, September 20th. It's Dante's.
Next Wednesday at the 20th, and we're going to try to unofficially roll it out kind of like this. Between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m., if you're involved with press, we would like all the press people to be there between 6 and 8, and she'll do plenty of interviews, pictures.
Is that us?
And then 8 o'clock on, we would like it to be fans only. So that way the press can still hang out outside after 8, but we don't want a bunch of cameras and flashes and video going off while people are trying to chit-chat with Storm.
Now, David, do we bridge the gap? Do we get to go from 6 o'clock
yeah,
on to the end?
Yeah, you can go from 6 o'clock till drinky-drinky past.
Yeah!
You're a hybrid. They're the best of both worlds.
Yeah, we want you there for the long haul, of course, kids.
So that is so Wednesday, September 20th, and just so we should clarify this right now, this is very much just a hanging out, low key. How's it going? Say
yep.
Hey.
We're not going to be performing or anything. It's just going to be, you know, Storm and the Balls and all the immediate peeps just kind of hanging out, and everyone, you know, be able to come down and just give a shout out. She wants to give many, many praise and thanks to everybody in person. So it'll be just a way to kind of, you know, get back in touch with her hometown. You know, we're reacclimating her to the real world, you know, and just have a good time. There'll probably be like a DJ spinning some cuts, and maybe a couple people will get up on the mic and say some things here and there. But it's basically just a chance to come and, you know, talk to her, hang out, and just shoot the you-know-what.
And so we'll be talking about that, and we'll be, as next week, we'll lead up to that. And then, can we talk, I mean, can we talk a little bit about the recording session that went down? And,
yeah,
and who was involved in
that? Yeah, that's no problem there. She is actually still in L.A. She won't be back for a little bit. She's down there probably as we speak. They are finishing up vocal tracks. And Dave Navarro is in the studio laying down guitar tracks. We re-recorded our single, Ladylike, with myself on bass, James playing keys. Jimmy from the house band is going to lay down some rhythm guitars. And Nate, the drummer from the house band, laid down the backbeat. And Navarro is going to throw some of his rights off on top of it all. And we will be releasing a second version of Ladylike, hopefully within the next week or two. A very, very rockin' version of it with some sassy guitar playing and some thumping bass and drums.
Which is so cool. And we, Nate Morton, who's the drummer for the house band, we had that guy on because he was sort of a friend of a friend. And that guy, he's an amazing drummer. He's funny, fantastic, and he's a huge fan of Storm's anyway. So when, you know, that's a cool. So it's you, Storm, James from the Balls, Nate from the house band, and Dave Navarro. And then this how similar does it sound to the Ladylike that we've been playing?
It's shorter. We had to chop it down, make it radio friendly. It comes in at about 3 minutes now, so we lopped out an entire verse. It's way more driven. The drums are rock steady, pounding. It's sped up a couple beats per minute. It's more rocking.
And so,
is it kind of like the version she did on the show? Because that one seemed a little more aggressive when she.
It is similar to the version on the show. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little more driven. We kind of keyed up a little better and got some parts smoothed out a little bit, and the arrangements a little bit more smooth as well.
And you said they're going to be putting that out as a single in a couple weeks. Should people watch? Is it stormlarge.com? Is that kind of the place, the clearinghouse for all this info?
Stormlarge.com is the place for updates and whatnot. Our website is still, not all aspects of it are up and fully functioning, but our message board has everything you need. It's got links to all kinds of cool media stuff. There's a bunch of great photographs in there, and I update it as well with news that's hot off the press in the update section. So the message board itself on stormlarge.com has everything you'll need to know about us.
Fantastic. And again, next Wednesday, September 20th at Dante's on 3rd and Burnside.
At 8 o'clock?
At 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock for regular folk, and then 6 to 8 for the media. It's just kind of a welcome back storm. Storm in the balls.
Tell one, tell all. Now's your chance to go grab a piece of her before she hides out again.
Well, you guys are probably just going to find an isolation chamber somewhere and toss away the key for a while, I would imagine. So,
well, you know, I wish I could say that would be the case. There's probably going to be about a good 48 hours where we just disappear. But literally, once, you know, beginning next week, once she gets back in town, this thing's like a steamroller, and she's just got to keep going with stuff. So she has been very, very, very busy. She has not stopped moving. I mean, our time in L.A. was just absolutely crazy. Maybe about 6 hours of it from Sunday night to Thursday night was spent actually like drinking and hanging out with friends and doing all the schmoozy L.A. stuff.
Right.
But the rest of it, I swear, man, it was just interviews all day long, press junkets. It was just crazy. It's madhouse how busy they keep those people post-show. I mean, she was busier post-show than she was on the show.
I mean, just within about 48 hours from when she left the show, there was the flood of, like, she's going to be on, you know, she's going to be in Ellen, she's going to be on The Soup, she's going to be talking to Howard, just, you know, all of this stuff. So,
yeah, it was great. Yeah. She even taped Ellen, I think it was Thursday night. She had no sleep, been up for basically 2 days doing press, and then had to go sing that and tape that, because they taped that on Thursday and then aired it on Monday. But
cool.
She's been a very, very, very busy bee, but, you know, things are looking good. There's a healthy buzz down in L.A. for her, and everybody from the show, Mark Burnett on down, everybody was very supportive of her and showing lots of love, and, you know, she's just trying to make the best of this while we can, and hopefully, you know, some good stuff will come of it.
We can't wait to hear the new version of the song. So
I can't either.
All right, man. So next Wednesday, September 20th, Dante's, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you at some other points. So our best storm.
Yeah, I'll keep touching base with you guys.
Totally.
And keep you in the loop as things come up.
Please do.
There's also going to be several Storm in the Balls performances. I don't have the dates locked down yet, but there will be several performances. We're not going to be doing our weekly gig anymore, obviously.
Sure.
But she's going to be pretty busy with other ventures as well. She's going to be trying to record a solo record, so that's going to be happening. And then you may already know, but she is confirmed on the tour, the Supernova tour, that starts mid-January and goes to the end of February. Her, Delana, and Toby are all locked in it for sure, playing with the house band, and I think they might add one more. They might add Magni to it as well.
Well, as long as I have to sit through Zaira, like, in her bubble wrap clothing or whatever.
I don't think old Zazu will be making any appearances on that one.
Excellent. All right, David, well, our best to Storm and to both of y'all. So,
once again, thank you guys for everything. I think I heard something about you got an email earlier, stop talking about Rockstar Supernova, something like that.
Well, I think at this point we're probably
going to... We're talking about Storm.
Yeah, we're just talking about Storm. I think I'm done talking about that show for quite some time, though. I'll save any remaining questions I have until the next time I talk to her. So
there'll be plenty of Storm information coming down the pike, and we'll try not to mention that other name anymore.
All right, brother, man. You take it easy, David.
All right, you guys have a great day, and thanks again, and we'll see you on Wednesday.
Thank you, man. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Davey Nipples. Storm in the Balls. Cool. So that's next Wednesday. Next Wednesday, Dante, September 20th. So we'll be talking a lot about that. And we'll play that new version of the song as soon as we get it. So, all right. 503-733-2970. When we come back, Tim Riley's working on the following stories. Tim, what kind of stories might we expect to hear when we return?
Well, we're finally keeping Mexicans out of here by building a huge fence and everyone will work within the law from now on. Problem solved.
Ain't that America?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And let's see here. Florida man arrested for exposing himself. A mother claims harassment while breastfeeding at Toys R Us.
That's the Attention Sarah Dillon file. We'll get to that, plus Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there on AM 970. Solid State Radio!